Luke chapter 6. Starting in Luke chapter 6. Tonight is part 3 of spiritual stability using the building blocks, the spiritual building blocks mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1. Tonight we're looking at virtue, because in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 5 it tells us, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." So talking about virtue tonight, and beginning with Luke chapter 6 verse 17 through 19. "And he," Jesus, "came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have tonight. Father, we ask that you would guide us through the scriptures. Pray that our thoughts would be established. Father, we ask that, Lord, you would just speak to our hearts tonight, giving us ears to hear, helping us, Lord, to understand how to apply the principles and truths of your word to our faith. Lord, that it would be stronger, that we would have more courage to stand up in these latter days before Christ returns, to stand upon our faith, and Lord, to keep believing, to keep trusting, to keep obeying you, and to keep, Lord, yielding ourselves to your will. Father, I ask that you'd bless the children, and Lord, Kid Venture tonight, as always, Lord, open up their hearts and minds to understand the Bible lessons being taught. Lord, we ask that the word of God take root in all of their hearts, bringing forth the fruit of salvation in their life, and helping them to develop that friendship, Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, who is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, who will help them their entire life if they will rely upon him. Father, would you help us as the adults and even the young people, Lord, to continue to trust you, to continue to walk with you, to continue looking to you, Lord, for wisdom, for direction in life. Father, thank you that we can celebrate Thanksgiving, that we have the freedom in our country to worship openly, Lord, to be able to assemble together as a body of believers. Lord, thank you for all the things you do for us, Father, just the families that we have, the church we have to go to. Again, Father, the jobs we have, everything you've given us, Lord, we do not take it for granted. So, Father, would you just speak to our hearts, helping us to worship you in spirit and in truth, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we start off looking at verse in Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 19, "The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." And virtue in this verse and the other verses in 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks of strength and power. Speaks of strength and power. And there was a multitude that came to Jesus because they believed that their infirmities could be healed by the power of Christ. They believed that many, if they could just touch the hem of his garment, if he would just lay his hands upon them, if he would just even speak the word, that what their faith was in Jesus to heal, that it would be done. And time again through the Gospels, we see Christ just saying over and over again that basically because of your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. And as it says, I want you to notice at the end of verse 19, it does not say, "and he healed some of them." It says he healed them all. So there's not a single person that cannot have their life changed by the power of Christ. There's not a single Christian who cannot have their prayers answered or have infirmities changed by the power of Christ. And it is the strength of the Lord working in us to help us to continue to believe that the Lord has all power. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, as we talk about the spiritual blocks that we are to be building our stability with, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." And last Wednesday, we talked about faith, and tonight, talking about virtue, adding virtue to our faith, and again, adding power or strength to the faith that we already have. It's not enough just to believe that the Lord can. We have to live a life as though we believe He will and He is coming to our need, that He is providing our need, and that we are to even be living a life that testifies of our faith. Again, you have faith, but the Lord wants us to add to that faith virtue, to add the power and strength of Christ to our faith, not once, not twice, but every single day of our life until we see Him face to face. Like I said earlier, faith speaks of strength or power, and the Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Again, Jesus is the one that has all power. He's the one that heals. Virtue has gone out of Him. Remember, there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she spent all of her life saving on every physician she could find to try to make herself better, but she did not grow better. The Bible says she grew worse. And she said within herself, "If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole." And when she did, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue came out of Christ and healed her, because He stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Because He said, "I perceive virtue has gone out of me." He knew somebody had touched Him in a very special way. Because remember, the disciples said, "Well, Lord, the people are thronging on You. I mean, they're all pressing upon You. They all are touching You. What do You mean? Who touched me?" But again, the Lord knows. The Lord knows when something happens in your life. He knows the struggles that you have. He knows when you're coming to Him by faith and you're seeking Him with all of your heart for Him to help you in a time of need. And the Lord knows it. And He says of this woman, when she came trembling to Him and falling down because it was made known that it was her. I don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't say. Maybe the Lord had the crowds kind of part, and there she is just standing there, and she realizes, okay, He knows it's me. And she told Him everything, and He said, "According to thy faith, your faith had made thee whole." Again, it's her faith in Christ, the strength and the power of Christ made her whole. And tonight I want to talk about different areas that need the power and the strength of Christ in. Because as we add virtue to our faith, it is for us to become stronger in trusting God, obeying God, committing our ways to God, faithfully following God's ways, and yielding ourselves completely to the Lord. Because what is your faith in? Hopefully tonight your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, that's the beginning, but your faith is in Him to guide you, to help you, to intercede on your behalf, to always be there for you, and to give you the grace, as Paul said. You know, when Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," Paul said, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon my life." And that's exactly, we'll look at a couple of different people throughout the scripture, but I want to start with trusting. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3, because God wants us to add virtue to our faith. He wants us to become stronger through the power of Christ in trusting the Lord, in trusting the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, you already know the verses, verse 5 and 6, because every time I think of the word trusting or trust, my mind always goes to Proverbs chapter 3. Because it's easy to trust something you can see. It's easy to trust something you already know the answer to, you already know the outcome, you see it. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The Lord challenges us to trust in Him with all of our heart, meaning there's no reservation, there's no doubt, there's no hesitation. We fully trust with all of our heart, even though we may not understand the situation, we may not know the outcome, but we are fully trusting the Lord as we follow His way of doing it, all right, as we're being patient, waiting on the Lord. it's truly an area that not a single Christian has arrived at. There's not a single Christian that is fully 100% trusting the Lord without any reservation, because every situation in our life is different. And again, the devil's always attacking our faith. He's always trying to, you know, wear us down and get us to put down the shield of faith and get us to stop trusting the Lord. And the Lord says, add to your faith virtue, add to your faith strength and power, and it starts with fully trusting the Lord. And again, time and time again, the Lord will allow situations to come in our life, like in the life of Gideon. Remember, Gideon was one of the judges. Gideon was chosen by God as he is threshing wheat behind the wine press because the Midianites had invaded the land, and the Midianites were trampling their gardens, stealing their food, and just really oppressing the people. And the people cried out to the Lord, and every time God's people were to cry out to the Lord, he'd raise up a judge, he'd raise up a deliverer. And you know the account where God chooses Gideon to lead in fighting against the Midianites and the Amalekites that were encamped in the land, and God dwindled Gideon's army down to 300. The odds were stacked against Gideon, and God did it, because he had thousands of men with him, but God says, you know what, that's too many. You have too many. So he tells Gideon, tell the men, anybody that is afraid and really hesitant to go to battle, you can go home. And thousands of men went home. And God said, you know what, you still have too many. And God dwindles it down to 300 because, again, God doesn't want us to trust in men. God wants us to trust in him. And when it seems like everything is against us, when it seems like the odds are against us and there is no way I can win this battle, that's where God wants us to be, because he wants us to trust him completely with all of our heart. And you know, God directed Gideon to victory. He tells them, you're going to have a pitcher, you're going to have a lamp. But before they even broke the pitchers, before they even shouted, God tells Gideon to go down into the camp. And he goes down and he goes towards the Midianite camp. And he hears one of the Midianite soldiers tell of his dream. And the dream was of Gideon and the sword of the Lord. So when Gideon gets back to his men, he tells them, you know, basically he tells them, you know, at my command, you're going to break the pitchers and you're going to shout. You're going to shout with all your might that the Lord has given us the victory. And you're in so in so many words, they were going to say some things, but I want you to understand, Gideon had to trust. Because as he's there with 300 men, the Amalekites, the Midianites, tens of thousands of men, soldiers. But when you read that account in the book of Judges, God sends a fear among the Midianites and the Amalekites, because when they hear the noise and they see the torches and they assume that each other, that the Amalekites are attacking them, the Midianites are attacking the Amalekites, and they turn on each other and they start killing each other. God can turn any situation around. We have to continue adding strength through the power of Christ in trusting God in all situations. When God says add virtue to your faith, he wants us to be strengthened in trusting him completely in all situations. That's why it says trust in the Lord with all thine heart. No reservations, completely believing. God has the answer, God already sees the victory, and God will guide my steps according to his will. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you would. As we think about strengthening our obedience. Again, Gideon had to obey exactly what the Lord told him, how the Lord told him to go into battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites. We've already looked at Joshua several times, but when you think about Joshua had to obey completely. He had to obey completely God's command to go up against Jericho and every city thereafter. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 22. You know what? Let's back up a little bit here. Back up to verse 16. Read 16 through 22. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.' Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." You remember this account where God tells King Saul through Samuel that they are to fight against the Amalekites and there is to be no one saved alive. No one is to be saved. Not even the animals are to be saved. Everything was supposed to be destroyed. It was God's judgment upon the Amalekites, and the children of Israel, the army of Israel, was being the hand of God against the Amalekites. And when Saul is questioned about his obedience to God, and is even told, "You did not obey God," he tries to say that he did obey, because he killed all the Amalekites except for the king. And we'll get to verse 22, because God does not like half obedience. He wants full obedience. But yet, King Saul, he tries to, you know, defend himself. He says, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." And then he blames the people and says, "The people took of the spoil to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Verse 22, "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.'" Look at that verse again. "Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?'" God delights in obedience more than sacrifice. Sometimes we think that we're sacrificing to the Lord when we go to church or read our Bible, we pray, we think, you know, "I've done my service for the Lord." But God's not happy in that. God's happy in obedience. God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. He wants us to strengthen our obedience. I heard of a missionary a long time ago in Brazil. And there was a pastor who was visiting this missionary on the mission field. He said they're sitting on his front porch of his home there in Brazil. And one of his kids is out in the yard playing, and the missionary father interrupts the pastor and he crawls out to his child and says, "Stop," calls him by name and says, "Stop." And the child stopped. And the father said, "Drop to the ground. Drop to the ground. Crawl to me." The child crawled to him. As soon as the child crawled away from the tree that the child was playing under, a giant snake, I forget if it was a python or what, but a snake dropped from the tree in the very spot that the child was playing. What if that child had not obeyed? What if the child had ignored the voice of the father, ignored the commands of the father? Because we know what it's like when we're told to do something, we like to question, right? Kids like to question, why? And some kids are good and they obey first. But generally, kids, you know, why? Why do I need to do that? And as Christians, sometimes we do that as well to the Lord. We may not verbally look up and say, why, God? But in our spirit, we're saying, why? As we're not fully obeying the Lord. And the Lord sees the dangers. The Lord knows who's lurking around, because the devil lurks. He's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The Lord wants us to become stronger in obeying the Lord without the Lord having to give a reason. He does, as he says in verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, because truly, to obey the Lord is to show that we truly do trust the Lord. And to really believe that, you know what, God is looking out for our best interest. God truly has his eyes upon me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God's truly watching over me. And when I hear his voice speaking to me, and I feel within my in my spirit that the Lord is wanting me to do or not do something, I want to obey the Lord immediately. I want the Lord to be pleased with our obedience, and it does. Becoming stronger in obedience. We live in a society that's all about disobedience. Disobeying the law, not caring for life, just doing whatever we want. And yet God's people will kind of throw the Lord, if I could say this, throw the Lord a bone by just showing up to church once in a while. Because a lot of people will show up to church for Christmas, for Easter, and thinking, you know, they did God a favor. God wants us to, as his children, as his people, to become stronger in obedience, because it truly does show that we believe. Obedience truly is the best way for us to show that we believe what the Lord says. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Do you realize that as we become stronger in trusting the Lord and stronger in our obedience, we'll find the Lord using us in more ways. We'll find the Lord doing greater things in our life for our good and his glory. And the Lord does want to use us. He wants to use us in various ways, but we have to continue growing in our obedience to the Lord. In Psalm 37, look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The third area that the Lord wants us to grow stronger in by the power of Christ is in our commitment to the Lord. Committing thy way, your way, unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Fully committing your path unto the Lord that he has set your feet upon. Remember, the Bible tells us that he has placed us in a race. There is a journey for us to walk with the Lord. There's a race to be run, and the Lord wants us to commit our way unto the Lord. Every day of our life, committing it unto the Lord. Not ask, not always, and there's nothing wrong with asking God, God, would you bless this? Would you bless what I'm about to do? Nothing wrong with that. But we truly should be committing our way to the Lord, saying, Lord, I commit this unto you because I want you to be glorified. I want Christ to be lifted up. And I trust you fully that you'll bring to pass the exact result that you desire. And sometimes, as Philippians 4 tells us, we have to commit it to prayer, becoming stronger and committing things to prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As we become stronger in committing our ways unto the Lord through prayer, we find a peace on the inside. We find a peace that passeth all understanding that, you know what? I am committed to giving everything to the Lord in prayer and through prayer, not after the fact, but before. It's easy to pray after something has already happened, but praying beforehand. God wants us to be committed to prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he wants us to become stronger in committing everything to him, knowing that he can cause anything to work out a lot better than us trying to force things to work out. Committing it to prayer and also committing unnecessary weight unto the Lord. The Lord doesn't want us to be weighed down. He doesn't want us to be weighed down with weights and sin. We are to cast aside all the weights and sin that does so easily beset us. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're reminded, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to commit it to prayer, casting it upon the Lord, because the Lord does not want us to be weighed down. He doesn't want us to be heavy-hearted, fighting against the pricks or kicking against the pricks like Paul in a situation that we can't really change. And when I think about committing it to the Lord in prayer and committing our way unto the Lord, I think about Esther. Esther, who was brought to the palace for such a time as she was in. And though she knew she might die, because it was the law that you did not come in before the king without being summoned. But yet, through her cousin Mordecai, she finds out that a law has been written that on a certain day her people were going to be annihilated. And she was the only one that could possibly maybe stand in the gap, stand between death and her people. And she even tries to get out of it, but her cousin tells her, Mordecai tells her, don't think you're going to escape. When they find out your heritage, they find out your family, your background, your nation, you will be just like us. But you know what she did? She fasted. She told her cousin, I want you to fast, and my maidens and I will fast. I mean, she committed it to the Lord. She sought the Lord with all of her heart. And she says, if I perish, I perish. How often do we truly commit things to the Lord, truly trusting that he will provide, truly trusting that he will guide my way? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring to pass. Wherever we are at in committing things to the Lord wants us to become stronger in that area, stronger in trusting, stronger in obeying, stronger in committing things to the Lord. Because the Lord truly wants our spirit and our hearts to be filled with his peace. He doesn't want us to be overburdened. He wants us to learn how to commit things to the Lord, commit it into the hand of the one who can turn it in whatever direction he wants and can bring us to the other side, just as he did Job. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 16, because I want us to think about strengthening our following. Strengthen our following of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, let's see here. Look down at verse 24. In verse 24, the Lord says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, we see the Lord's example, and we are to identify with the Lord's example, because remember, Jesus did exactly what he said. He took up his cross. He fulfilled the Father's will. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying ourselves of what we want and following after God's will, seeking God's will. Again, the Lord wants us to grow stronger in these areas. He wants us to add virtue to our faith. He wants us to, through the power of Christ, to fulfill the Father's will. Because it's not enough for God's people just to make it through the pearly gates. God wants us to be found faithful at his coming. He wants us to add these things to our faith. He wants us to become stronger in these areas so that he marvels at our faith. Because again, when you go through the Gospels, he marveled at the faith of the people. He marveled at those that had no faith, and he marveled at those that had great faith. We'd rather the Lord marvel at our great faith because we are becoming stronger in these areas by yielding ourselves to the Lord, allowing the Lord to continue to do his work in us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every child of God should have a desire to know what is God's perfect will for my life. We have desires of our own. We have ideas of our own. We have things that we want to do. But we have to commit all that to the Lord and follow God's will for our life, knowing that being in the center of God's will is far better than having all the riches of the world. Again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The Lord was a living sacrifice. He yielded himself to the Father's will. He said, I came to fulfill the Father's will. He goes on to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is our reasonable service to follow the Lord with a heart of sacrifice, a heart of surrenderance, a heart that wants to fulfill the Father's will. And it has to start with the mind, because it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that goes right back to trusting and obeying. Trusting God, obeying God, following God, and yielding to the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 6 as we think about yielding, becoming stronger in yielding to the Lord. Again, as people, there's not a single Christian that doesn't, again, struggle in these areas. Some may be stronger than others. And it all depends on how much we yield ourselves to the Lord. Because in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto God. Again, every impulse you have. I mean, honestly, think about going into a store. Maybe you're prone to just randomly buy things. I mean, maybe you're prone to, you know, walking through a store and you see, oh, it's on sale, and just buy them. Some people like that. They're impulse buyers. God wants us to be impulse followers, impulse yielders, yielding ourselves to the Lord. Because again, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And you and I, and we are alive from the dead. We once were dead in our sins and trespasses, but obviously, since Christ has came into our life, we are alive. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You understand, the members, you, your body, your ears, your eyes, your mind, every part of you is to be yielded unto the Lord, unto righteousness, not unto unrighteousness. That's why it's not okay for God's people to listen to things that are not godly, to watch things that are not godly, to drink things that are not godly, to inject their bodies with drugs, things that distort, things that take over, things that destroy. God says, yield yourselves unto righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, God wants us to grow stronger in yielding ourselves because God wants to do so much. I can't imagine how much I've missed out on unbeknownst to me, that the Lord wanted to do in my life. One day we'll probably see what we missed out on. The Lord will show us what we missed out on, what you missed out on, what God wanted to do more in your life that he wasn't able to because we didn't yield completely to him. We didn't follow him completely. We didn't obey him completely. We didn't trust him completely. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul says that to live or die, it was gain for him. He says, so now also Christ shall be magnified. It's yielding ourselves to God's will so that Christ is magnified in our life, whether we're living or whether we're dying. And I can't help but to think of Stephen, the first martyrs of the early church, who was full of the Holy Spirit. He glorified God. He preached for the Lord. He helped. He ministered to people. Yet he was hated by the unbelievers. And as they looked upon him, as they gnashed upon him with their teeth, as they were going to stone him, they looked upon him, the Bible says, and his face shone as if it was an angel. The face of an angel. There was no fear. There was no anger on his face, though he was being derided, though they were mistreating him. Yet he had complete peace because he had yielded his life to the Lord. He yielded, whether living or dying. And because he yielded himself to the Lord completely, 100%, that he knew, you know what? I'm being stoned, yet I'm in the center of the Father's will. And he was able to say, lay not this sin to their charge. As he took his last breath, as that last stone hit him in the head and took his life. Why? Because he had yielded his life. He yielded whatever, good or bad. I know that whatever God allows in my life, it's okay. I hear too many of Christians that blame God every time something bad happens. And then when something good happens, oh, you know, they're all for God again. And then when something bad happens, oh, God is not fair. But we know that God is fair. And yielding our life to the Lord will truly bring an abundance of joy and gratitude and peace in our own life. God wants us to become stronger in yielding. Not just yielding one day to the Lord. Not just yielding 5 minutes in prayer to the Lord. But yielding our entire life. Seeking his will. Seeking his strength so we can accomplish the race. Remember, Paul was able to say to Timothy, I've finished my course. He had no shame whatsoever because he had finished what God asked him to do. He knew. He wasn't perfect. Remember, he's the one that said, the things I would do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. He had the same struggle as anybody else. He wasn't some supernatural Christian that had no struggles and did everything right. But he was determined to finish his course with joy. And he had the joy at the end of his life that he had finished his course without any reservation, without any shame. He knew that he had yielded his life completely to the Lord. Have we yielded our life completely to the Lord? Have we done everything that God has asked us to do? If not, today is a new day. We can continue because as God gives us breath each day and allows us to wake up each morning, it's another opportunity to fully yield ourselves to the Lord and follow him through obedience and commitment and trusting him. Last place, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, Saul, King Saul, missed out on the blessings of God. He missed out. He ruined it for his son, Jonathan. Jonathan would have been the next in line to be king after King Saul. But because King Saul rejected God in disobeying God, God took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David. Now, obviously, God being sovereign and God knowing what was going to happen, God had already purposed things, but yet he still gives every person an opportunity to live their life for him. He knows where we're going to mess up, but he still gives us the opportunity to choose at that moment. Because he is a fair God. He is a God who is a righteous judge, a loving God, a gracious God, still giving those opportunities for us to grow in these areas, because his desire is for you and for me and all of God's people to become more like Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 14 through 16. Says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God wants us to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That is how we become stronger in these areas, yielding ourselves to the Lord and letting God do the work in us. We can't do it on our own. We cannot manufacture a stronger trust in the Lord just by thinking, okay, tomorrow I'll do better. It's truly committing our way, committing our life unto the Lord, and even seeking God. Lord, help me to become stronger in these areas. Help me to add the virtue of Christ to my faith. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help my faith become stronger in all areas, that there's not a single moment where I doubt that you can or cannot do something. There's not a single moment where I do not yield myself to you and I do not commit my ways to you and I do not seek you with all of my heart. Ephesians 6:10 again says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, God tells us, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. It's not automatic. We cannot sit by and say, Lord, okay, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me to have a stronger trust. We have to put our faith into action. We have to believe what God says and believe that, you know what, God truly does want the best for me and God wants me to truly become more like Christ, being resolved in my heart that I'm going to live my life as a living sacrifice, saying, Lord, here am I, have your way with me. Continue to do the work that you started in me. I don't want to quench the Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Spirit. Lord, I want you to be pleased with a life that is completely surrendered to your will. And again, these building blocks that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to our faith virtue, and next week, adding knowledge to virtue. And next week, we'll see where there is power in knowledge. Knowledge gives power. It's the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of his ways. And we'll look at that next week, but this week, let's even pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be strengthened in these areas so that Christ is magnified and the power of Christ rests upon my life. Again, that's why Paul was able to do everything he did. I mean, Paul, just the life of Paul, we have more of Paul's life than we do, you know, Timothy, those that he mentored. For a reason, for an example. Because again, sometimes the mindset is, well, you know, of course Jesus, he never fails. Of course he was able to live a sinless life. He's God. Obviously, he's given us of his Spirit to be able to live that life. But again, he gives us ordinary people who yielded their lives to him so he could use them however he wanted to. And he uses them in great ways. And he wants to use you in a great way as well.